Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
How is your sock drawer looking? Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning. Well, Bombas just dropped soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place. And you know what? I just did it. Once you try Bombas, you are not going to look at socks the same way because they are obsessed over details. They have these anti-blister tabs and cushioned footbeds, so your feet feel great. It's like walking on little pillows. It's amazing. I love my Bombas. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head on over to bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/bonkers. Use the code bonkers at checkout. It's time to do it over. Talking about paintings that inspired performances and just how fast a horse can run. You'll understand all of this in just a second, because now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Last Looks. Hit the theme!
Last looks, last looks. Say something before it's gone. Because it's last looks, this is the opening song. Well, after this one, Paul moves on.
What is up, my blue lipstick men? And my French mermaids. I'm your host, Paul Scheer, and welcome to a very special, supersized edition of Last Looks. That's right. Today on Last Looks, we are not only going to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons, but also the King's Daughter. We're going to have special guests galore because later in the show, we are joined by How Did This Get Made All-Star, Ike Barinholtz will be here. You know him from episodes like Cellular, On the Line, and Bats. He's going to be talking about his brand new improvised comedy podcast called The Chris Chapman Do-Over, which is hilarious. Since I've interviewed him, I've listened to 2 episodes, and they are great. Basically, he's a shock jock who is trying to get back from being canceled. It's him, Lisa Gilroy, Neil Casey, some of the funniest people ever. And each week, very special guest stars. It's done by the same team that did Amy Poehler's improvised podcast, Dr. Sheila. So we'll get into that in a little bit. Plus, we're going to reveal next week's movie. But before all that, a huge shout out to Quinn for that opening theme. Quinn, thank you. That was awesome. I loved it. And we want more songs. If you have a theme for Last Looks, send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com, please. But keep them short. Brevity is the soul of wit, and we will all appreciate a 15 to 20 second song. I mean, it's just the way it goes. People, you might have heard this last week, but I'm going to repeat it again. I'm going to repeat it again for a long time. I wrote a book. I literally just finished the copy edit of my book seconds ago. It is called Joyful Recollections of Trauma, and you can pre-order it now. You can get it as an ebook. You can get it as a hardback. You could get it as an audiobook. And I beg you, get the book. Get the book. It's important in the publishing industry to sell books before they actually come out. I didn't know that. I want to tell you a little bit about this book really briefly. This book was made truly because of you, the How Did This Get Made audience. And I'm not saying that hyperbolically. When I started telling these stories on the show, you made supercuts. There were blog posts about them. And you kind of gave me this feeling like, oh my gosh, maybe there is something here that I could turn into something bigger. So I started writing, and I love my book. I mean, thankfully. No, I'm excited about it. I put a lot of time into it, and I really wanted to do something that was special, something that I think gives you what you want, but also something that you don't expect. And I think I accomplished that. The only thing I know I definitely accomplished is I need more. I need to do it more. I love this process. I love writing. I started a Substack because I want to keep on writing. And if I actually sell a bunch of books, I'll be able to maybe make another one. I don't know. Oh my God, that seems daunting after the last 10 days I just had. Anyway, Joyful Recollections of Trauma is the book. It is a collection of childhood tales and more. You could pre-order it wherever you get your books. And here's the other thing. We know that How Did This Get Made has an amazing group of people that support local public libraries. The easiest thing you could do is just go to your local public library's website and request they buy my book. That's actually great too. It's like buying a book, but you don't have to spend any money. Although I would love you to spend some money on the book. I don't see a dime of it, but I'll tell you this much. If you pre-order the book and if you save your receipt, I have something very special for you. Something that I'm going to mail to your house. And I'm not just talking to one person. Why am I doing this? I'm spending a lot of money to do something crazy because I appreciate anyone who would go out of their way to purchase a book. So that's why I'm doing it. You can go to my website. You can go to How Did This Get Made website and you'll see links to get the book. Anyway, more on that. I'll talk about it a lot, but I'm excited. And the audiobook is going to be fucking fun too. How Did This Get Made is on the road. We're continuing being on the road for a little bit. February 3rd and 4th, we're going to be in San Diego and San Francisco. Get your tickets there. And we're going to be in Europe from March 28th to April 3rd. We're going to be in London for two nights. We're going to be in Glasgow. We're going to be in Belfast and Dublin. And man, I got to tell you, London and Dublin, I think we're sold out in all those shows, which is amazing. Belfast, I'm looking at you. We're close. But Belfast, let's get those tickets going on here, Belfast. Show them what you're made of. We'll also be at the Netflix is a Joke Festival, May 8th through the 10th at Largo. Woo! So many live shows. So much going on. Books, podcasts, so many things. We'll be talking to you. Oh, by the way, I might actually include you on the audiobook. Well, we'll get into all that. Okay. Let's get into it. During our last two episodes, we talked at length about Dungeons & Dragons and the King's Daughter. We had questions, and we might have even missed a few things. Here is your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is now time for corrections and
omissions.
Thought we knew it. I thought we had it. And everyone else was living on another planet. Now we come to you, hats in our hands. Tell you all about how we fucked up.
All right, thank you, Cool Skull, for that great theme. First up, we will be talking about Dungeons & Dragons, a film that Discord user Graham S. thought should have had the tagline, Dungeons & Dragons, D&D by way of Dumb and Dumber. I like that. I like it a lot. Can I give you a pitch to improve it, Graham? Just D&D, colon, Dumb and Dumber. That's how I would say it. I mean, that's stealing your joke. All right, let's go to the Discord. Grumblebottom writes, I know poor Morgan got overworked for no pay in that D&D episode, and I thank him for his service. As a longtime player and sometime Dungeon Master, I sympathize with him. Go Morgan! Also, how did that entire episode happen without mentioning that Richard O'Brien, Riff Raff from Rocky Horror, and Mr. Hand from Dark City was the head of the Thieves Guild? And that the Elf King was played by Tom Baker, the fourth Doctor from Doctor who turned down the role of Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. Justice for Riff Raff and the fourth Doctor. Now, let me just nerd out on you here. Scott, our amazing producer, and I teamed up here to kind of do some research. Accounts do vary about whether or not Tom Baker was actually offered the role or simply made it to a short list, okay? We're not sure that, you know, I don't want to slight anybody who got the part. Either way, Baker said he would have turned down the role because he wasn't willing to leave his wife for an 18-month shoot in New Zealand. So that's what he got there. Little did he know that he could have brought his wife, potentially, or I mean, well, who knows? I don't want to judge anybody. I would probably have a hard time leaving anywhere for 18 months as well. That's a long, long time. But why didn't we mention Richard O'Brien and Tom Baker? I don't know. Because it was not that on a list of the most insane things in the movie. falls like in the deep 80s. Anyway, Dungeons and Dragons writes some info regarding the conversation about the dwarf's height. Although the producers were looking for someone under 5 feet to play a very tough dwarf, 5'4" actor Lee Ehrenberg said he told them, "I got a few more inches, but a foot more talent than the other short people they were auditioning." And Ehrenberg said he compensated for his taller height by walking with a stoop and spreading his legs wide. Guess what? Didn't work. And I got to say, 5'4", and even at 5 foot, not really what I think of when I'm thinking about that type of a character. Great performance, but I don't think he fooled anyone. But the talent was all there. Dr. Guts 1003 writes, "So what exactly is Ridley getting knighted for at the end of the film? He was responsible for bringing the red dragons to Izmir, which created more harm than help. Then he opts not to kill Jeremy Irons, leaving that up to Thora Birch to take care of. And if we're saying he's worthy of being knighted simply for going on a journey, then the rest of the crew deserves a similar honor. Or is this like a Chewbacca situation where only the white guys receive the honor despite the others going on the journey?" Boom, slam. You know what, Dr. Guts? I 100% think they tried to copy Star Wars there, and they had no reason why. There was no reason given. And maybe it was a badge of dishonor. Maybe it was a dishonorable discharge he was getting. He should have gotten a dishonorable discharge at that point. Biggie writes, "As a longtime dungeon master," oh, wow, we got a lot here, "I've had many players like the snails character at my table. They steal random stuff all the time and mouth off to villains that are much higher level than the characters. All of that is fine, but often leads to hijacking of the story and making it all about their characters. I wondered if the absolutely brutal killing of snails in the movie was a nod to those types of problem players. I know I killed a problem PCs at the table in a similarly brutal fashion so they could come back as another character that might fit the table better. There weren't enough nods to the game in general to make me believe that that is true, but I really wanted Damon Wayans to come back for 5 minutes after Snail's death in a slightly different costume and inexplicably join the party seamlessly. That would have been really like D&D. Okay, that's actually a pretty great idea, but I don't really have enough experience to give my take on that. I do have the experience to tell you that it wasn't Damon Wayans in the film. It was Marlon Wayans. You were close in the Wayans world, but not the right Wayans. But anyway, like I said, I'm not a dungeon master. I don't know. Maybe I should call in some help here from a true dungeon master. Morgan, what do you think?
Hey, Biggie, you're right not to believe it. The movie doesn't sit close enough to the source material for a deep cut like treating Snails as a problem player to be intentional. Snails didn't even hog the spotlight. As Paul pointed out, Ridley was undeniably the star of the movie, and having a star at all throws any concept of party dynamics out the window. Jason's guess that Wayans needed to cut shooting short to do Requiem for a Dream seems more likely. But yeah, the Beerfest gag of "I'm Snails' brother Dales, and I want to help you finish what my brother started, also to honor him, call me Snails." It's a time-honored tradition in old-school D&D, as that game could be quite lethal, and making an identical character to the deceased was easy and let you still use the deceased's equipment.
Boom. Thank you, Morgan. Morgan, working the phones. We cannot get enough of Morgan. All right, and as we are working the phones, let's go to David from New York.
Hey, Paul and crew, this is David here from New York. I don't know if you know this, but James Cameron almost directed this movie. The producer of the film was a really big fan of Dungeons and Dragons, and he reached out, got a hold of James Cameron. James Cameron came in for a meeting to direct the film, and the head of Wizards of the Coast, who owned Dungeons and Dragons at the time, I think they still own them, I'm not sure. Anyway, the person who was in charge, this woman, I forgot her name, decide to tell James Cameron, why should you direct Dungeons & Dragons? What can you bring to the table that will help this make a good film? Essentially, acting like he was a nobody. So James Cameron got pissed off, decided that he didn't want to do the movie, with good reason, and the producer couldn't get anybody else, so he decided to direct the movie, which is why it's so horrible. The guy behind some of the best films of the 20th century got told by nobody that he didn't matter. Anyway, so I will let you go. Have a good one, guys. Thanks a bunch.
You know what? Honestly, this is a movie that probably was around forever, and I could see James Cameron actually doing a great version of this movie. According to the LA Times, Francis Ford Coppola and Rennie Harlan were also attached to direct at certain times, but deals fell through. We might have even talked about that on the show. I think it's one of those movies where everybody has a meeting on it. I remember a couple of years ago, everybody I knew had a meeting about doing like the M&M's movie, you know, like how they have those M&M's before, like, you know, like the funny M&M's, like, you know, something. It's like, were you attached? Were you interested? Well, who knows? You were there. You did something. I would have loved to have seen any of those people direct this film, but clearly it wasn't going to happen. These people, these producers pissed everyone off. Let's hear from Jackie in Brooklyn. Jackie, what do you got?
Hi, Paul. I was at the show in Philly. During the episode, you guys used the word sector, which is a great word and is the word that I wish they used in the movie. But they used the word rod throughout the movie to talk about the rod that they were holding, needed to find, all of that. And I guess this is really a question for Morgan. But I was curious if that is a Dungeons and Dragons term or if that is just something that they use in the movie because it's for kids and it would be easier to understand. But anyways, that's it. Thanks so much. Happy New Year. And I'll just give a shout out to my friends Maria and Kevin and their new son Miles that I went to the show with, who was just born on New Year's Eve. All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
All right. Rod, scepter. Again, I don't know the answer. I have to throw it to my dungeon master, Morgan. Is it a rod? Is it a scepter?
Hi, Jackie. Good guess. Rod is, in fact, a classification of magic items in D&D, which scepters would fall under. Iconic examples include the Rod of Rulership, Rod of Wonder, and the Immovable Rod. But the iconic item to control dragons is actually an orb of dragonkind. No idea why the movie decided to use a rod instead. They could have just made the orb on the end of the rod and called it a day. Maybe they had a leftover prop from another movie and had run out of money.
Thank you, Morgan, setting the record straight once again. And finally, Morgan from Philly, what do you got to say?
Hey, Morgan here, and I have a few corrections and omissions of my own. Jason mentioned how Marina barely uses her magic, even when it would be super helpful. This is one of the few D&D things the movie got right, albeit perhaps unintentionally. Paul quipped about her being in her first year of wizard school, so she only knew one spell. But Paul was right on the money here. Wizards learn more spells as they level up. Not only that, but mages in D&D can only use their spells a finite number of times. A first level wizard, before this movie was released, could only cast one spell per day. Then they had to resort to using a crossbow until they got a good night's sleep. Later editions of the game gave mages weaker spells that could be cast over and over again. But to this day, stronger effects like opening portals or zapping a whole crowd with lightning are still finite resources which mages have to judiciously manage.
Okay. Wow. I am surprised that is accurate. Well, I guess, you know, maybe it's not great for a film. You know, it's like, oh, Schwarzenegger in this is a robot Terminator, but in this movie, he doesn't kill. I don't agree with it. I agree with what you're saying, but I disagree with it. Anyway, so many great D&D corrections and omissions. Thank you to Morgan for jumping in here and answering all of these questions. And you know what? Morgan was such a true, a great sport this entire time. People loved him. There were so many overwhelming comments about him. And I just wanted to give Morgan a chance to say thank you to all of you who supported him.
Hey, How Did This Get Made, fam? Morgan here. It was an honor to rep my fellow Philly nerds at the show. Hearing 1,800 people chanting my name on a stage I've seen Neil Gaiman speak on was one of the wildest experiences of my life. Since then, I've been telling the story to anyone who would listen as I eagerly awaited the episode drop, and I've also been DMing 4 campaigns and playing in 3 others. I'm not really on social media, but friends have been showing me the lovely posts y'all made across different platforms. Seeing everyone's support has been incredibly flattering. And if you're not sick of me, some fellow audience members interviewed me for their podcast, Trip B. You can check that out. I've also been lurking on the How Did This Get Made subreddit and was considering doing an AMA there. Throw some posts up if you'd be interested in that. Thanks again to Paul, Jason, and June for letting me hold the mic, and to Philly for giving me one of the best nights of my life.
Thank you, Morgan, and we'll be right back after a quick few words from our sponsors. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney. And that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix. Welcome back. That is enough of Dungeons & Dragons. Now it is time to get into corrections and omissions from The King's Daughter, a movie that Discord user Pawn Paloma thinks could have had the tagline, "The King's Daughter, My So-Called Mermaid." Yes, I love it. So-called life reference. I'm into it. Let's go back to the Discord. John, not Connor, writes, "The gang pointed out several instances on how cheap and thrown together this movie seemed. One more example is that when the quartet is supposed to play the special mermaid dissecting requiem, Marie destroys their instruments to sabotage the ritual, or so we're told, because as soon as Marie busts in on them, we smash cut to the next scene and we never see her destroy the instruments. Clearly, the instruments were rentals." Boom! Wonderful, Eye. You are 100% correct. But didn't she smash up some instruments earlier too? Like when the king was listening to music? I feel like they had one set to smash and they couldn't do it again. I forgot this movie because it feels like that was recorded like last summer. Sean McBee writes, "Just to expand on Paul's point about Versailles being far from the water, I looked it up and it is roughly 115 miles to the nearest coastline, which is the English Channel. So here's some math. In the absolute best circumstance, a horse can ride about 100 miles a day, though typically it's 20 to 35 miles. A solar eclipse from start to finish lasts about 2.5 hours, with totality lasting 7.5 minutes at most. All this to say is that the idea of getting from Versailles to the shore during the course of the eclipse is just about impossible in a car, and no stretching of credulity makes it feasible in this film." Thank you, Sean, for doing the math. I also like how much leverage you gave a horse from 25 miles a day to 100. I feel like you really You really are being paid by Big Horse. Okay, Rocket Wesker writes, the movie did give an explanation for why the heroine can breathe underwater. One of the mermaid's powers is that if one swims close enough to the mermaid, then that person is able to breathe underwater too. Yes, I think we knew that. But this is also why Captain Jack Boring was able to escape for Sigh with the mermaid through the water. If I recall correctly, the heroine also told the king about this and listed it as one of the reasons why the mermaid should be considered sentient. All right, so but are you saying that you could force the mermaid to give you that power? Because it feels like the mermaid like grants it. You just can't take it. Anyway, I don't remember that part of the movie. Or even our issue with it. So all I'm going to say is, yeah, you're right. Let's go back to the phones. We got Eric. What do you got, Eric?
This is Eric. I'm a history teacher, and I wanted to say a couple of things about the king's daughter. First of all, I don't know, if you look up Louis the 14th, there's like a very famous painting of him. It's like the one at the top of the Wikipedia page where he has like an outstretched arm and he's holding his scepter. And Pierce Brosnan, on quite a few occasions in this movie, basically, like, hits that pose. He does the exact same thing. And it was, I don't know, to me, who, like, has shown the painting in my class and all that stuff, it just looked really weird. Like, he didn't really do any research. He just, like, looked at the picture and was like, okay, yeah, I got it. Anyways, thanks.
Oh, my God. You know what, Scott, our amazing producer, he actually found that portrait and several screen grabs from the film. We'll put this on our social media here. But you're right. Yes, he's just straight up stealing that pose. You know, some people, it starts through physicalization. That's where the acting becomes. Some people put on a costume and they become the character. Pierce Brosnan was like, give me a scepter or a rod. Again, I don't want to get into that debate. I'll be this guy. I mean, it clearly, this is what I have an issue with. Clearly, Louis the 14th was posing for a picture. Pierce Brosnan decided that his Louis the 14th would always be posing for a picture. Oh my God, this is amazing. You have to see these pictures. And now let's go to Andrew from New Jersey.
Hi, Paul. I just listened to The King's Daughter, and I gotta say, I was looking into the book, The Moon and the Sun, that it's based off of, because I thought, like, oh, it's based off a book. That's interesting. And then to tie things to some of your background or fandom, the author, Vonda McIntyre, actually wrote several novelizations of Star Trek movies, including Wrath of Khan, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, which has been discussed on the show before. And I just thought you would think that that was interesting. Thanks so much.
Hey, I love it. I love a Star Trek novelization. I've read many Star Trek movie novelizations. As a matter of fact, I have a whole book shelf full of movie novelizations, the lost art that I wish would come back. Well, way to go. I feel like we should not be judging this movie on the book, right? Vonda and McIntyre shouldn't take any shrapnel from what happened here in this film. I would like to go read some of her Star Trek movie novelizations and relive all my favorite moments from Trek. Anyway, great corrections and omissions this week, but there can only be one winner. I have to tell you, this is hard to do, but I think I'm giving the winner out of all the calls to Eric. That's right, Eric, you finding out that Pierce Brosnan made his entire character choice based off a painting truly is the most mind-blowing thing that I've heard on this show in quite some time. And you know what? Because of that, you are going to get an amazing song from our friend Casey Campbell. Hit it, Casey.
You were the best thing that Paul heard today. So pat yourself on the back, 'cause that's all you're getting.
Okay, if you want to submit an alt movie tagline or chime in with your own thoughts about the latest episode, hit up the Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm or call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. Coming up, Jason and I are going to be joined by Ike Barinholtz to chat about his hilarious new podcast, The Chris Chapman Do-Over, and so much more. Plus, as always, I will reveal next week's movie. But first, get ready, because we got a bonus scene from our King's Daughter show. Take a listen.
Sir, what's your name? What's your question?
Jim, and my question is,
who do you think did the Free Willy escape better? Willy the killer whale or the mermaid escaping over the wall of the grotto?
Holding the guy, she's
Captain
carrying
Jack
Captain Jack Boring in her arms.
Well, yeah, why could she escape at that moment? And again, this is where, when I watch a movie like this, it makes me dumber. But I'm like, is there a reason why that was a moment where she could escape?
Like maybe something happened with the wheel that they did. I don't know, Paul.
Yeah, the wheel was a part of it. He came up on that wheel.
That was spooky.
Really spooky. That's when I realized, I was like, these guys look too much alike. Because I was like, who is that? Is that the boyfriend or is that the evil guy?
It was also, the wheel was moving so slowly. He had so much time to get off of it. And she has so, you watch her work out every single detail of... And he's like... And she's like... This goes on for so long. In a movie in which every scene is 15 to 30 seconds long itself. They are cutting scenes mid-sentence from people. It's so not working.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new Cinnamon Crunch now at a retailer near you and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry because I love these. Hey everybody, I think you probably all have noticed this, but every Monday we re-release old episodes online in the stream. We don't have a vault right now, so that's the best way we can combat this, and we are putting some fun ones out for re-release. This week's Matinee Monday was Free Jack with Sinclair and Phoebe Robinson, and next week will be the Jean-Claude Van Damme classic Street Fighter with John Gemberling. So keep on checking out these replays. Okay, now it is time to welcome to the stage, the podcast, to the recording, How Did This Get Made All-Star, a true Statham maniac. We're going to talk about the beekeeper. Oh, you know it. Tom McWaters, play us in as we meet Ike Barinholtz.
We're going to have ourselves a conversation. Just chat. No quarantine or vaccination. Just chat. Paul and Jason, a couple of cats. Just chat. Just chat. Just chat. Shoo-be-doo-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
First of all, Ike, I'm excited that you're here. We'll just jump right in and say, do you know the premise of the new Jason Statham movie, The Beekeeper?
The Beekeeper, I do. He's just a simple, humble beekeeper.
Former assassin.
Former assassin, former Black Ops.
I'm so sorry to tell you that I have read the script for Beekeeper.
Whoa!
How did you get your little hands on that thing?
Ooh, I got my mitts on that script. I got my mitts on that script, and it's a blast.
There was someone in the trailer that I was like, oh, man, that's a Mandzukas part. They're like, because basically, he's friends with Felicia Rashad, Jason Statham, an older woman that he takes care of her bees. And then she gets like internet fished and then commits suicide. And he goes off to like avenge her death, which
this
is
was
a
Paddy
great...
Chayefsky's last script, right?
Yes. Yep. Right.
Yeah. He wrote Network and this then
was
this.
Based on a Dalton Trumbo idea.
I just saw today that there's some rumors going around that, like, there's apparently a twist in the movie that was based on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
What?
And they're like, and the filmmaker's like, no, no, that is not true. This is
no, the scene where there's an old confused man and his son with his dick out, that's not based on that. It's two different guys.
But so the, so there is this, this thing with the beekeeper where, like, you know, she's being internet fished, scammed, and like, they cut to like, the guy doing it, and like he's in a room of like all these people, like dressed super fashionable, like they all went to Zara and they're all on computers. And he's in the center on a headpiece, and like he gets her, you know, bank information. He's like, yeah, oh, and he like fist bumps and
like this. Wolf of Wall Street,
yes. And I was like,
as opposed to just a massive call center in Bangalore.
Yeah.
I just love that it was like super, like they tried to make it like real sexy. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be, I cannot wait to see it.
The reviews are great. The reviews are literally like,
reviews?
Oh, great reviews.
Because I was going to say, I can't wait to be doing How Did This Get Made Live in 2045 for the Beard.
Maybe we'll do it, but it is a lot more, at least it's when great. I read it, I was like, oh, this feels a lot more like it wants to be playing in the John Wick like style. Right. Versus like a Chev Chelios, a crank Jason Statham.
From what I understand, though, it's still like really fun and super crazy, right? Like
yes, I mean, quite a lot of his assassin skills, I think I'm allowed to say, because having read it, are using explosive honey and other bee related things.
Well, you know, JS is probably still very like enmeshed in the bee. Like he's probably on set of his new movie right now, being like, "Ah, oh, so you're putting honey in your tea, eh? You know where that honey comes from? A bloody fucking bee. From a bloody fucking bee. Did you know that? And you know what? Once the queen dies, the hive is lost completely.
I'd like to have you come down and check out my apiary. Have you seen my apiary? Just give me 1 second. I'm going to put on this yellow jacket.
I got it at
Common Misconception.
I got it free and easy at Highland Park.
Common Misconception. Wasps and bees, very different.
Wasps and hornets are nasty, but bees are actually peaceful. But bad news for you, I'm not a bloody bee. We got to do it. We got to do that.
We have to do our idea of
fill you through
the podcast that is just the three Stathams.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm all in. I'm all in for it. I'm loving it.
The whole thing is all we want to do is get a chance to interview Jason Statham.
That's the goal.
Which until then is on the table. At one point, I feel like I had heard he was he was amused by our fascination by him.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible.
It is. I hope he understands it is nothing but legit fan worship. Like, oh, I think he is the coolest man who's ever fucking lived. This is Steven Seagal.
And like
this is
an Olympic diver. Like, he just has doing it all. The guy he's got the goods.
I love it. I'm obsessed.
And we need those. We need a movie called The Beekeeper. Like, we need this. Our culture
and
needs
the extended Beekeeper universe when we get there.
Absolutely.
EBKU?
Yes.
By the way, speaking of extended universes, Ike, you are now in an extended universe.
I'm in a Marvel movie. I'm in it. I did a Marvel movie. Sorry. Marvelous Miss Maisel movie.
Oh, wait.
I'm playing Steve Allen in season 6. Very excited. Breaking news.
That's the crossover I want. Marvel's Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel.
So
So you have it's the Marvels. You get all three of the ladies,
And then Miss Maisel's there. So you got like Captain Marvel, I mean, shooting lasers, and then Miss Maisel's like,
but I'm not a superhero. I'm a pretty good hero.
But gotta remember, she's also Lois Lane, isn't she?
Isn't
Brosnahan our newest Lois Lane? Right.
Is that true?
In Gunn's movie, in James Gunn's movie?
I did not know that.
I think that
might be wrong. Maybe I think you're right.
I auditioned for Superman. I haven't heard back yet, so I'm still.
Yeah, me too. We should check it. We should follow up on that.
Yeah, I can't imagine a world where I didn't book that, but like we'll find out.
I mean, we'll see. My audition for Superman, my character was shirtless. And I did that shirtless, and June's like, you put the shirt on, and I was like,
I had a fun take for mine. I was I did my audition. It was like Superman, but what if he's kind of dealing with a bout of acid reflux?
Yeah,
like imagine if Superman ate a really big dinner the night before, and he's just like a little mild burping during the audition.
I did mine nude because I assumed that the suit was CG.
Yeah, I assumed
the suit was VFX, and I'm like, they're gonna put it on me. They're gonna do that themselves
for the audition. They do that for the audition so they could see how you'd look in the movie.
I have to show them the canvas that they're gonna be painting.
Oh, of course.
On.
I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, and I do all that kind of work. And I got into an extreme regimen that I. For the audition, you know, and I gained a lot of weight. I just drank the protein powders. I didn't actually do the workout, and I found out that made me very bloated.
I just like the idea of James Gunn looking at a board that has like one picture of like the kid from The Bear, like one picture of like
Jacob Elordi,
and
the hunks,
and then just the nude Mandzukas. He's just like, which way do I go?
All right, this is interesting. I like this. You know, look, I'm open to interesting ideas. I worked on this movie where one of the actors is now in Superman, but between he was working on a movie, the strike happened, and then they came back. He got Superman in between, right? Like, or the
wow,
some version of it. So anyway, the movie was shut down for weeks and weeks because of the strike, and he came back to set just jacked to the max.
Wow.
And we were like, oh, this isn't gonna match the rest of the movie where you were not.
Well, his one arm was jacked from holding a sign all day.
I think they got to like throw him in like sweatshirts for the rest of the movie.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, my God. Fun. We got to get jacked. Guys, we've got to get jacked.
I talked to someone
years ago. I think it was Mark Duplass. We talked about like, we don't want to go crazy, but what if like six or seven of us just shared like low doses of HGH with each other?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
The syringe comes, I shoot it, I run it over. Wait, we're sharing needles? Yeah.
Hold on, we're all safe.
You
use an alcohol pad, you clean it off, yeah.
Yeah, you clean it off, you wipe it off Jason, real quick, you don't just wipe off your arm, you wipe off the needle, hello.
Yeah.
I shoot a little bit, I drive over to your place, Paul takes a shot, he drives it over to your place, and then so on and so on.
Just
and then we'll
little
all feel
bit.
Little tiny bit. That's all I'm looking
for. This is going to go perfectly with my, I'm also creating a new form of ayahuasca. I'm calling Shirawaska, and it's going to be tiny. And it just a little dab will do you, you know, and this is
just
like,
you just have a little bit of diarrhea for 3 hours. And then...
My thing is, I don't like that ayahuasca right now as it exists is for everybody. I want to do it just with my bros, and I want to do Gaiawaska. And it's just a bros weekend where we do the sacred herb,
and we
just go nuts, but just with the guys.
That's what we need.
I actually, the real shit is if you can get in and you can go to Korea and you can do Gangnam Style with Ayahuasca.
Wow.
And that
such
one
a long
is,
walk.
No, it's not
such
actually. It's a short walk. It's a short, lovely walk. And Ayahuasca is what they're doing in Korea. That's what I've heard.
Oh my God. Wait, so the extended universe I was talking about that you are in is this, I don't even know what they're even calling it technically, but Amy Poehler.
A podcast,
but Amy Poehler has this world that she's creating. She's doing these like improvised comedy podcasts, and she started off with this one called Say More with Dr. Sheila, and Jason and I were both on that. You were on that, and you were hilarious on that.
Thank you, as were you,
Joan. And you have now spun this off, and now you have your own
You have your own podcast. You're doing your own thing.
That character has his own podcast.
Yes.
Right?
Doctor, and it's, I think it's actually, there's a question mark.
Oh, yeah. So,
Doctor? Sheila, because she's not really a doctor.
Right.
But the last one of her series, she interviews Chris Chapman, who I play, who was a former podcast star, I would say.
Got it.
Went through a little mild cancellation like we all have.
Sure.
Actually, Jason has to be. Jason, you're getting canceled next week, I read.
Oh,
it's
going to
be
a good
one. It's going to be really weird.
I'm pretty excited.
A lot of animals involved.
Yes. Crazy.
The tracking is looking good.
Tracking's looking good. I have you in my fantasy canceled roster. You pick actors you think are going to get canceled in the next year. But he's a guy who kind of went through that, and he was for the boys. He was a guy, you know what I mean? His show was for the boys. And he's kind of coming back, and he's gotten a new podcast, but it is it's contingent on him getting at least 1% female listeners. And so to do that, the podcast company has paired him up with a female co-host who's person named Frankie, played by Lisa Gilroy, who's guys know.
Hilarious.
Who's the best.
Just like such a star, I think. And
huge.
Just literally one of the funniest people.
She plays with us in Dinosaur a bunch. She's on jury duty, and she's on this brand new, well, I don't even know if I can talk about that yet, but she's on a brand new cool show on FX that's going to be coming out soon.
She's amazing. And then I also brought with me my old sidekick from my old podcast, the professor, who's played by our friend Neil Casey, who is
truly one of the great comedic geniuses of our time.
Well, not an understatement.
No, one of the funniest guys, and he is the professor, right?
He's the professor.
Is this kind of like, I grew up with Howard Stern. I love Howard Stern. Like, is this more Bubba the Love Sponge, or is this a little bit more like the, or is this more
is this
of a
Opie and Anthony?
Yeah, like, where what world are we living in? Joe Rogan-y?
It's really Don Imus. You know, I'm not a Howard Stern fan. I was an Imus guy my whole life.
Quack, 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 quack.
How you doing there, boy? I don't have baby boy. No, this guy is, he's a little bit post a lot of those guys. This guy was influenced by some of the great dumb podcasters that we all know and love who have zero expertise and incredibly uninformed opinions based off of horrible data. He was one of those guys. He was one of those guys, and early adapter to a podcast, probably.
Are you doing a lot of research for this? Are you going deep? Like, I mean, because I know that you got to play a character, you got improvising within this character. Are you going deep into like archives of podcasters and just taking it all in?
It's basically like, remember in the miniseries Chernobyl, where they're like, you have to get off the roof within 37 seconds or you'll have, like, I've basically been on that roof for like 3 years now, just like listening to every,
just consuming.
Yeah. And they're getting dumber and dumber, and they're derivatives of derivatives now. And I listen to a lot of them. I've exposed myself to some pretty toxic stuff.
Are there things that you're like on your show? Like, do you get excited to do because I'm assuming, do your episodes have a theme or a topic?
Yes.
Is each episode, like, so are there things that you're like, oh, when in my version, I'm going to come at this way, or this is I want to play in this space completely, whether it's vaccines or whatever, only eating meat that you've killed or whatever.
Every episode has a guest that we will be interviewing, and that guest has some kind of expertise, some kind of specialty.
And by the way, your guests are amazing. It's like Armisen, Ashley Nicole Black, Sinclair, Ego, Busy Phillips, Alice Stanley
Craig
Jr.
Kakowski, Fights.
Khaki.
It's just, it was a ridiculous group of friends we got to come and play. And exactly to your point, Zooks, like, it was really a fun opportunity for me to just kind of be like, what would the dumbest guy I know who is trying to sound smart and trying to appear to be like, you know, all knowledgeable, what would his reaction be to that? And, you know, again, you have Lisa and Neil you're bouncing off of, and it's totally improvised. Like, it's all totally made up. And it was the most fun I think I've had performing this year, just because whenever we do, like when I do, you know, Dinosaur with you guys, it's like, it could not be more fun, but all those scenes are pretty short. They're 3 minutes or right. so or less. And this, to be able to sit in a studio and get to really go deep and record for, you know, 45 minutes, an hour with someone, you don't get to do that a lot when you improvise. So when Amy first kind of brought this to me and was like, this is a chance for us to improvise and just kind of have fun without having to, you know, be on stage and just move fast. It was irresistible.
I loved it because of that reason, the Amy show, because you just committed to a character and you just let it go. And like, people don't have the patience for that on stage often. Like, they have to be in the right mindset, right, to even see that. And so this is amazing, you know.
That's real specialty improv. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the same. Like, when St. Clair and I did the show with Amy, you know, it was literally, it felt like jumping back in time.
Yeah.
You know, to like a point where it was just, we were doing stuff together that was just making us laugh, you know, that was really exploring and about discovery and making surprise discoveries and stuff like that. And in doing so, finding real silly, funny stuff that was genuinely delightful that you wouldn't have found in a 2 minute quick improv scene or a whatever, you know? So I think on a process level, this is dynamite.
Yeah, it was, thank you. It was so much fun. And it did give you the vibe of like, you know, improv's changed so much now, you know, you get like a, like big shows like Dinosaur or whatever, but you used to have dozens of shows. And
oh yeah, all the time.
A while, you find yourself in a show with someone who's like, hey, you want to do a 2-person improv show tonight? And we'll play the same. And you never get to do that anymore. So to get that chance again was just so much fun.
Now, Paul, I will say, Paul, you read the list of guest stars on the podcast, and I don't think you read your name or my name.
Let me see.
I'm just checking my notes here for questions that I had for you, Ike, and the question I have is, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah, okay. No. I knew this was going to come up, boys.
All right.
I knew this was going to come up. And basically, what it was, we had a talk. We talked budget, and as you guys are well aware of your quote for doing a guest spot on a podcast, we're talking $47,000.
I mean, that's a lot.
You know, we've been in the podcast game for 13 years.
And like, respect to you, I'm not saying you're not worth it. I'm not saying you're not worth it.
What are you saying?
I'm saying for the amount of money we were given to produce this podcast, we could not sign off and being like, $94,000
Yes. of it.
Because then we would be left with $6,000. How do I cover my transportation, my hair and makeup, my glam?
Now, you do know that you don't need to do that. Well, okay. Again, I don't want to.
It's an audio format.
Yeah.
It is an audio format, but we're taking stills the whole time. We're popping stills.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's going to be a cover. There needs to be cover art.
Sure.
And I also, as I know you guys adhere to this, I am not my funniest if I don't look my hottest.
And that is something I feel like people don't talk about. Men don't talk about that much.
Yep.
So, yeah.
They don't. So it was a strictly budget thing. But from what I'm hearing, if we hit the numbers we think we're going to hit,
season two,
We're talking, we get like $5-6 million an episode. In now, which case, I pay your quotes. I pay your family's quotes. We've got transpo for you. We got snacks. We got the whole thing. But we have to do it this way at first.
I understand. So we should probably say, Paul, that we should encourage our audience to start listening at season two.
Yes.
The only thing is this, if they don't listen now, we're not going to get to a season two if we don't have your guys' fans.
All right. We can make an exception.
If you want to be on the show, please plug the show is what I'm saying.
Or do it like this. Subscribe to the show now. Let the episodes download. Don't listen.
No, you got to listen.
Season two.
You do need to listen. But turn down the volume. Listen through the whole thing because they need to have the completion rate to make sure that
if you're listening for us, for the How Did This Get Made boys, then season two is where you want to start pumping up that volume.
Christian
Slater style.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is interesting. Like, can I tell you that when I first came out to LA, I just want to talk about like these guys for a second because when I came out to LA, Tom Likas was this was before Howard Stern had kind of gone on to Sirius. So if you missed Stern in the morning, you wouldn't get him later. And I listened to Tom Likas, and what I always loved about Tom Likas was like how much he loved wine. Like, you know, he'd be talking about, he'd be tell you in one side of his mouth, he'd be like, this is how you get your girlfriend to have a makeshift abortion. And then he'd talk about the fine wine that he had last night at dinner. And
all right. Well, so last night I had a beautiful Silver Oak Cabernet at Morton's. Now we're going to do Titty Tuesday. Honk your horn. Ladies, remember, if a man honks his horn at you, you have to show up your breasts.
Hey, Tom, can you give me a bong hit? And they would always be like,
Hey, Tom, what's up, man? I'm in Alhambra. I'm about to be arrested for murder. Can you blow me up real quick?
I cannot recommend James Adomian's Tom Likas impression.
I made him do it for me so many times.
It's makes the greatest. I did a Comedy Bang Bang episode, actually with Amy Poehler,
Jason,
myself, and Likas.
It is one of the funniest things I have ever heard in my life. He is so disgusting with Poehler. He's like, I bet you want to have sex with this, don't you? And she's like, no. He's like, I bet you do, dear.
It is one of the hard, I've never laughed so hard during a show I was on.
I have sent that clip to so many people. It is. Because who the fuck does Tom Likas?
That's the brilliance
of the Domian. Well, that's James' bread and butter, I feel like. Who's doing Huell Hauser?
I mean, maybe it should be, like, Likas should come on your show. I feel like that's what we're kind of, maybe tease that as
1-800-1-900, blow me up, Tom.
I don't know if you remember, I may be talking way inside baseball, but, you know, when Aspen Comedy Festival, that was a thing that, like, would happen, that HBO would put on, people would come, they would do their shows, get all these great comedy shows from all over the country, primarily LA, Chicago, New York, and they would do their shows there. And Tom Likas was always set up in the lobby of the main hotel of the Aspen Comedy Festival doing that show. Like, you know, so he was, you know, he's wearing big dark sunglasses all in black. And I just remember, like, just walking by him. I didn't know who this guy was. But to just know that, like, he somehow weaseled his way into that festival, like, just to be in the lobby, loud ass lobby. And he wasn't even getting people. He was just doing his show. It was a sort of like, I'm here. I'm also at the comedy festival. Give it up. Oh my God.
He was great. Great guy.
The podcast is, the Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Yes.
It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes come out weekly through March 14th. And if you don't even know what we're talking about with Amy's podcast, Say More with Dr. Sheila, you could listen to that as well. It all goes together. These are great, funny shows with hilariously funny people. I mean, when I knew that you, Neil, and Lisa were doing a show together, like, this is it. Downloading it.
Oh, and that it's characters. I love that it's like that. It's, you know, that it is sketch type, improv type characters. I love that.
And thanks again for taking down these libtards, man.
Let me tell you something, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for serving these guys.
You know what? I am. I realized a long time ago. I'm a shepherd, not a sheeple. And I don't play their game. They're gonna play my game.
I can promise
you, it's the dumbest way to spend like 40 minutes on a Saturday. Are you going for a stupid hike? Are you gonna fold some dumb laundry? Are you gonna go for an idiotic bike ride?
About to get on a subway, moron!
I gotta tell you, our audience, they love you. They're in. They're downloading. They're listening. It's gonna be great. It's going to be great.
And season 2, Jason Mantzoukas, Paul Scheer on season 2, first episode.
Wow, this is going to be exciting.
Also going to go ahead and pre-plug How Did This Get Made? Featuring Jason Statham, the beekeeper.
Yep. We will get that
live at the Will Turn, April 2025.
Oh my God.
What if we invite him and he's like, yeah, I would love to go. And we're there and we're doing our bits and just like halfway through, he just beats the shit out of us.
Well, by the way,
just starts kicking us.
I would love it.
I would love it. Oh my God. The buzz.
I'm going to, like, I will say that we've had that experience when we invited Vanilla Ice on the podcast and, he didn't really understand why he was on the podcast. We thought we were all on the same page.
So understand you want to talk to me about my life and my career.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, remember this fucking shit scene you were in?
Oh, man.
Oh, God. All
you
right.
You guys are the greatest. Love you, boys. Thank you so much.
Love you,
Truly
Ike.
Love you.
Well, thank you, Ike, for chatting with us. You can listen to the Chris Chapman Do-Over wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Ike on How Did This Get Made, his episodes are Cellular and Bats, and those came out in September and October. So just scroll back to find them. Or just search Cellular and Bats. I think that's the way podcast engines work. Anyway, next week's movie. Now that we got The King's Daughter out of the way, let's talk about what we're doing next week. That's right. We're going from A Swimming Mermaid in a Bay to rollerblading LL Cool J. I love that rhyme. Next week, we are watching the 2002 sci-fi sports flick Rollerball, starring Chris Klein, LL Cool J, and Rebecca Romijn. Here's a short breakdown of the plot. Jonathan is the most popular player in the fastest and most extreme sport of all time, rollerball. But things go wrong for Jonathan and his teammates when they realize that Rollerball's creator wants more on-court accidents for higher ratings. Rotten Tomatoes gives this film a whopping 3% score on the tomato meter. And Mark Rather of the Seattle Times writes, they should have called it Gutterball. Ooh, Mark. Slam. Anyway, let's take a listen to the trailer.
You think you can play?
What's it gonna be? Us or them?
They're going to kill you!
Try to survive.
Grab hold!
From the filmmakers that brought you The Fast and the Furious and Die Hard.
They're gonna kill somebody.
Gotta catch me first.
Rollerball. Pow! Rated PG-13.
You can stream Rollerball for free on Tubi, Pluto TV, the Roku channel, and MGM Plus. You can also rent it on Apple TV, Amazon, YouTube, and Google Play. And if you want to go watch Rollerball, make sure you select the 2002 remake, the Chris Klein one, not the 1975 original with James Caan. We are not watching the James Caan one. I don't want to send you down that rabbit hole, although it's a better film. Anyway, thank you for listening. Please remember to rate and review the show. It helps if you listen on Apple Podcasts. That's a big deal. Visit us on social media at HDTGM. And a big thank you to our producers, Scott, Sonny, and Molly Reynolds. Our movie picking producer, Avril Halley. Our associate producer, Jess Cisneros. And our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia. We will see you next week for Rollerball.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I got the charcoal mask! Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.